a conversation with the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, 13th season as Mavs head coach. He was an NBA champion as both a player and a coach. The NBA Coach of the Year in 2002, more than 800 career wins. That is third among active coaches. Dallas is in first in the Southwest. They're at Houston tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Rick Carlisle. Rick, it is always good to have you on the show. Good to have you back, too. Rick, how are you?
Jim, I'm well. Good to be back in the jungle.
Good to have you, too, Rick. I hope that that phone connection's good. That sounded a little bit jarbled. But let's get into it. So you're coming off a 111-103 win over Utah last night. I want to get to Luka's performance in a moment, but you held the Jazz to their lowest point total in nearly 2 months. What was your approach on defense, and then how pleased were you with the results?
Well, we were pleased with the results. We played a series with them back in January where we played two games in 3 days out in Utah, and that did not go well. We had three guys who were returning from COVID protocols, and having your first game after 2.5 or 3 weeks at 4,300 feet above sea level, against the best team in the league is not ideal. And they smacked us pretty good in both games. But we've done some good things since. We've gotten better as a team. We've gotten better defensively. We felt going into last night we needed to be much more physical than we were in the two games in January. We were able to do that. We had some good fortune. They didn't make every shot, but I think some of that was how hard we were playing and how together we were playing. And it was a great win for us.
Rick Carlisle joining us. Rick, to that point, you dropped those two games that you mentioned back in January to Utah. Part of that was a tough run at the end of January as the team dealt with injuries and COVID both. I mean, the kind of run or stretch that might even destroy a team and even a season. But starting February 3rd, you've gone 20-8 since then. What's that tell you about this particular group that they never did give in?
Yeah, before the season started, we looked at the schedule and 13 of 19 on the road to start. Those 13 on the road were heavy with, championship caliber opponents. And, we knew that the schedule would test us in ways that we probably couldn't imagine, with this type of situation and a shortened off season and everything else. And it was rough. And then we actually hit a COVID patch, as I mentioned, and that made it even rougher. We had a six-game losing streak at one point, but it's a resilient group. It's a group of great guys, led by Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, and they hung in. They believed in the importance of defense and continuing to work at being a better defensive team, and we've done some very good things defensively over those last 3-4 weeks, which has really helped give us an opportunity to go on a run here.
Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle, my guest. And as you mentioned, Luka, who had another monster night, 31 points, 9 boards, 8 assists. I mean, incredible numbers, and yet it's pretty much just an average offensive output for him, which is insane for a 22-year-old who's only played 177 career games. Like, at this point, Rick, how would you describe what it is about Luka that makes him so special? Is it physical talent, or is it something else that separates him?
Well, he's got the physical ability, Jim. He's a very underrated athlete. He is big. He is very, very strong. He is super quick, and he is fast. Being 6'7", 6'7", and a half, and having a big frame and having that kind of strength, doesn't usually equate to the words quick and fast. But he's quick, fast, powerful. He has the ability to accelerate and decelerate very quickly. That's why he's so great on the step back shots. He can go forward and pull it back and stop and still maintain his balance. And he's shooting those better than ever this year. But he also just has kind of that sixth sense about things that are going to happen and seeing them before they happen. Much like Magic Johnson did, much like Larry Bird did, LeBron James has that kind of ability or kind of sixth sense. Jason Kidd had it. The game, his bandwidth for understanding the game and seeing things as they are happening and as they will happen is very, very unique.
This guy's special. That's high praise, and deservedly so. We're talking to Rick Carlisle. So, Rick, as I mentioned off the top, I'm really curious about this. It's your 13th season with the Mavericks, which is an absolute eternity in the NBA. It's a testament to how good of a coach you are. But at the same time, being a head coach in the NBA can be a real grind. So how have you managed to stay fresh and motivated year in and year out? What's that process like?
Well, you know, I love the job. I love the challenge. You know, I've been fortunate to have great ownership in all three places I've been, Detroit, Indiana, and here in Dallas with Mark Cuban. You know, we've had terrific players. I was privileged to work with Dirk Nowitzki for the last 11 years of his career. Jason Kidd for, you know, 3 or 4 years before he moved on and played with New York. You know, we won a championship with that group. Jason Terry's a great player. You know, Sean Marion, Tyson Chandler. I mean, you've got to have great players in the fold to last as long as I've lasted here. And then, you know, we went through a tough rebuild for 3 years. But, you know, the result was that we were able to draft Luka. We were able to trade for Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway. And this kind of gave us, you know, a new beginning. And, you know, from that point on, you know, we've gone through some of the challenges of a young team, but I've got a great staff. We've got young players here that want to get better, that want to win. You know, I enjoy the challenge of kind of, you know, moving from one era of the NBA to the next. You know, the players are growing up in a different world now with social media and a lot of those external forces and factors, and it's been fascinating to learn what that's all about. My 16 3/4-year-old daughters helped me, you know, understand a lot of that stuff. And look, every day I come in knowing that there is much, much more to learn, and that really gets me going.
I like that. Rick Carlisle is joining us. And then, Rick, last summer, Bill Walton did an interview with The Athletic. He was talking about how much he admires you, how proud he is of you. I've got to ask, what was he like, the big man, as a teammate back in the day?
Well, wow. How long do we have?
As much time as you need, Coach.
Bill would say, how
as much
long
time as you need.
You know, I met Bill in the fall of 1985, and you know, it changed my life in so many ways. 2 years later, I called Bill on the phone. It was the fall of 87. I had a girl that I was dating named Donna, and she was going to grad school in D.C. And I called Bill and I said, Bill, listen, I'm in D.C. I've got this new girl that I'm dating that I really like. The Grateful Dead are here playing at the Capitol Center tonight. Is there any way possible, you know, I could get in there to see the show? He goes, hey, listen, just go to the back door, ask for Dennis McAnally, tell him you played with the Boston Celtics, and everything will be just fine.
Wow.
And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, we had a phenomenal time at the show. We had two laminate passes. One was a Bill Walton pass that I had, and then they gave Donna, Bill's wife, Susie Walton, his wife at the time, I should say. And so we were walking around in the back, and during the intermission, we walked in a room, and we're sitting with Jerry Garcia, Bob Weir, and Mickey Hart, you know, three of the mainstays from the Den, and had a casual conversation with them. And needless to say, the date was successful, and we ended up getting married. And so, you know, we're 20 years of marriage, and that night, and that gesture by my great friend Bill Walton was very much appreciated.
What an amazing story. Now, was there not somebody also involved named Ramrod? Who's Ramrod?
Well, Ramrod became a great friend as well. He was one of the stage guys, and his name was Ramon Rodriguez, and, you know, hence the nickname Ramrod, and he became a very close friend. He passed away several years ago, very sad, but Ramrod was the guy that night that took care of us. And, you know, when you experience something like that, where you're standing on stage watching the show and then mingling with Jerry Garcia and Bob Weir, you know, at halftime, you know, you make some special friends in a hurry. And so, But none of it would have happened had I not had the great fortune to meet the great Bill Walton.
Such a great story. Rick Carlisle, my guest. Rick, one last thought, if you don't mind. For instance, you talked about the players you've had. You've talked about your great staff. Let me ask you about Hubert Davis, because he was with you. He played for you in Detroit, and you were one of the guys that he mentioned as coaches that he learned the most from. He was just named head coach at North Carolina. What do you remember about him as a player, and then how do you think he'll fare as a head coach?
He'll be great, Jim. He's got an amazing personality. He's got a magnetism with the way he relates to people. I had him for a very short time in Detroit. You know, we were short on point guards, and we actually converted him to a part-time point guard. He was a great shooter, a great guy coming off screens and stuff, but he was able to adapt to that position. And I think that's probably what he was talking about, but you know, I was hoping that he would be a guy that would emerge as the candidate for that job, and it was phenomenal to hear. And I know that anybody that knows Hubert Davis, and so many people know him. I mean, you know, he's been in the game for, you know, 3+ decades now. Extremely happy for him, and he'll do an amazing job at North Carolina.
And then, Rick, finally, like, for instance, you're right, his personality is absolutely amazing. But when you have move over just one chair or even two chairs, we know how far that move actually really is. What do you remember about being a head coach for the first time and the sort of transition you had to make?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no way to really 100% prepare for it. You've got to move over. You've got to sit there. You've got to deal with all these different forces that are coming at you all the time. And you know, it's just it's hard to explain. You know, people watch a game on television, but when you sit in that seat, you know, you have individual relationships with each player. You have to manage minutes, which is, you know, takes great communication. You have to manage a coaching staff so that your messaging is consistent from top to bottom. You deal with the press every single day, so your PR director is coming at you with media requests every day. There are questions that come up, you know, win or lose about the team, and how are you dealing with this? How's this guy dealing with that? And you want to keep messaging consistent there. And if you're in the NBA, you know, you've got a relationship with your owner. And you know, I've been very fortunate in all three places that I've been. But Dallas has been extra special because of my relationship that I developed over the past 13 years with Mark Cuban. You know, it's based on respect, trust, and a high level of communication. But, you know, the short answer to your question is it's an 18-inch move to the left or the right, depending on where your bench is circulated. That is absolutely, different in every way, but it tests your capacities to communicate and work with everybody at every level of an organization or a college program. You know, instead of an owner, you know, with the University of North Carolina, you know, Hubert will be dealing closely with his athletic director, and the dynamics, while different, you know, are going to be quite similar.
He is the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. 13 years as a head coach there, and once again an NBA champ as a player and a coach. Dallas is in first in the Southwest, and they're at Houston tomorrow night. Rick, let me reset. I appreciate this relationship that we have. Like, to your point about dealing with the media, I want to say for the record, not every NBA coach is going to come on shows ever, and you've always made it a priority to come on this show, and I want to thank you for that and tell you how much I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Rick.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Be well.
You be well. Rick Carlisle, sincerely, like, he's always done the show, and not only always done the show, but has always shown up like that on this show, whereas I want to say a majority of NBA coaches just don't do that sort of thing because they don't need to, and Rick Carlisle has always made himself available, and I appreciate him and the Mavs for that.